I believe it is highly probable at the core of the distrustful and pessimistic attitude behind mediocrity is that we don't believe God cares too much what we do or how we do it. The problem revealed in the opening verses of Malachi is that the Israelites didn't think God cared too much about them.
God doesn't value us much, and probably doesn't love us. He allowed our city wall to be destroyed, the holy temple to be leveled, and our families to be torn apart. He let our enemies conquer us. He took away our wealth, our land, and our possessions.
I bet there was a big poor me at the end of that, too. Sounds more like Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh, doesn't it? Israel's words, in short, basically said, "Why should we care about God? He sure hasn't shown concern for us." They did indeed bring sacrifices, but they were nothing special. Just ho-hum offerings. They brought the mediocre things and acted in average ways. Their mouths said one thing, but their actions reflected a life of approximation. A life built on more or less. In Malachi 1:6-8, the Lord says, "Isn't it true that a son honors his father and a worker his master? So if I'm your father, where's the honor? If I'm your master, where's the respect? I, the Lord, your God, is calling you on the carpet. Your priests despise me." You say, "Not so. How do we despise you?" By your shoddy, sloppy, defiling worship. You ask, "What do you mean, defiling? What's defiling about it?" When you say the altar of God is not important anymore, worship of God is no longer a priority, that's defiling. And when you offer worthless animals for sacrifices in worship, animals that you're trying to get rid of, blind, sick, crippled, and crazy animals, isn't that defiling? Try a trick like that with your banker or your senator. How far do you think it would get you? Pay attention here. I, the Lord, am asking you. God was pretty well in their face about their mediocre attitude, I'd say. The lukewarm are those who claim to know God but live as though He isn't all that important. Sure, they may go to church, but their faith is more constructed of self-righteous complacency. They may claim to be Christians, but their hearts are unchanged and their hypocrisy makes the Lord's heart sad. When I was in grade school, one time when report cards came out, a teacher wrote in the comments, "This student can do exemplary work when he wants to, but he won't, and seems satisfied to just get by." Many years later, I look back and see myself, for a part of my life, as someone who didn't think anyone cared or noticed. Therefore, I never gave anyone my personal best. I gave what was adequate or good enough. I well remember my turning point from excellence to mediocrity. In the fifth grade, I was very good at all my studies. I was an A-plus student and worked hard at school. One day we had a math test. Oh man, I was ready. Not only did I know how to get the answers, I understood the operations. I whipped through that test and was the first to turn in my paper. I knew it was right. Shortly I got my test back, and it had 98 written at the top. I went back up to the teacher and asked why, if all the problems were correct. She told me quite sternly that she counted off 2 points because in my haste I spelled my name incorrectly. I was so mad. I remember thinking to myself, "Well, if it's more important to spell your name right and no one cares if you understand the material, then that's it. I quit. From now on, I'm just going to play ball with the other boys. What difference does being smart make? No one notices, and no one really cares. From that day on, my life was mediocre by my conscious choice. Eventually, I barely made it through high school, and it would be years before I gave anyone my personal best ever again.